Happy Monday, everybody. It's a super happy Monday for me because we are headed down to Walt Disney World this evening. So get ready for some live tweeting and Instagramming from your favorite place. But let's have a podcast for you here to start the week. It's a Trip Report. And of course, our Trip Report podcasts are brought to you by our friends over at The Wisdom of Walt. Put Walt to work for you. Let me give you a secret. We're going on the podcast cruise here, in just about a week. We're going to spend some time at French Quarter first, then head out in the Disney Fantasy with lots of our podcast listeners. Dr. Jeff Barnes is sailing with us on the podcast cruise, so I get to pick his brain about The Wisdom of Walt and how he put this amazing book together. You need to drop by thewisdomofwalt.com today. Check out all the details about this book. It's the summer. It's a time for a great read. You know, slow down, grab some lemonade, grab this book, get inspired, learn some more about Walt Disney himself, and learn about the lessons that he left us in the parks and how we can take those lessons to make our day better tomorrow at work. And maybe tonight with our family. That's what this book does. So again, support our sponsors and make your summer awesome. Drop by thewisdomofwalt.com. Today's show is also proudly sponsored by the official website for the unofficial guide to Walt Disney World. That's our friends over at touringplans.com. They have the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on your Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. Of course, I'm going to be firing up touringplans.com starting tomorrow. The Lines app is sitting right there on my iPhone 7. I'm going to know when to zig when everybody else is zagging, and I'm going to avoid the crowds and keep my family happy. You can do the same. Just drop by touringplans.com today and pick up that premium subscription.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1192 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you. And if I have a little spring in my voice, that's right, it's finally my turn. I get to head down to Walt Disney World this evening. We're flying out about 7:30 tonight. Getting into Orlando probably about 10:55, I think, is our landing time. And then going to hustle over to French Quarter, have some fun over there, check out Pandora, check out all the fun stuff before we get on the podcast cruise this Saturday. And speaking of the podcast cruise, we're going to talk about the Disney Fantasy here for just a little bit for those folks that are sailing with us. One last boost to get you ready for the podcast cruise and for anybody else who's sailing the Fantasy in the near future. I think today's show is really, really going to help you out. So joining me today to talk about a very unique sailing on the Disney Fantasy, we're going to head up Chicago way up to Plainfield, Illinois. We have Mark. How's it going, Mark?
Good. How are you, Mike?
I am doing great. And how pumped are you for the podcast cruise?
Oh, very pumped. On this day, we will be in the Magic Kingdom waiting for you. We'll probably be watching the planes flying over Orlando waiting for you to land.
Hey, who'd have thought that a few years ago, you know? It would have been me pulling in the Trailblazer with the trailer attached behind it. But, now I can't wait. Actually, you're one of the people, Adam, you, a few other folks. You always took great pictures from the plane and, you know, you tracked them, and that stuff got me interested in flying. So big shout out to you for getting me up in the air.
I'm glad that you finally joined the ranks of the aviation people.
Yeah, it's a lot easier on my back. I can tell you that much. I'm not getting any younger. I hate to say it. I feel like I'm 21, but my body acts like it's 80. So anyhow, let's talk about this cruise you took. Now, this was back in May. So, about 6-7 weeks ago now, you got a little taste of what we're going to experience. Because as you recall, as our listeners probably recall, the Disney Fantasy went in for its required dry dock. Each ship that sails has a certain window of time. I think it's 5 years. And then they have to go into a dry dock situation where they update things, check for safety and all that good stuff, which is always nice. But you got on this really unique sailing that was a 3-night sailing, 2 stops at Castaway Cay on the Fantasy. And what's unique about that is that the Fantasy, if you don't know, with Disney Cruise Line, is the ship that is very consistent. It sails to the Caribbean, 7-night sailings, alternating Eastern and Western Caribbean. But they had, I think it came out on a Thursday, and they had to do something until Saturday, and they just didn't want to let it sit. So they ran this 3-night cruise to kind of shake down some new things. So What got you on this sailing? I mean, because this is something that it popped up and it was like, well, that's weird. Three nights on the Fantasy. So why did you book this one? How'd you find out about it?
Actually, social media, I think, is how I found out. And as soon as I heard about it, I first spotted it on a Saturday, and I started looking and I looked into it. All came home. My wife came home from work. I said, "Hey, they're doing this three night, the double dip Castaway Key. You think we could do that?" She's like, "When?" I said, "May." She goes, "Well, Alex can't come because she's got finals that week." So I said, "Well, all right, let's book it then." And I think I sent an email to you within 2 hours, and I think we were convinced that, you know, this was something we had to do, just because of the fact that it was, you know, such a unique itinerary. Being a shorter cruise, it was, a lot more affordable too.
Yeah, it's the thing about this cruise was it was a lot more affordable than any other previous sailings on the Fantasy. Plus, you didn't have the time requirement of taking a full week away from work. You know, you could do this basically Thursday, Friday, Saturday night, back on a Sunday. So it's kind of, you know, being on, you know, the premier ship of the Disney Cruise Line right now, but really an extended weekend sailing and two stops at the premier destination that the Disney Cruise Line goes to, which is Castaway Key. So was that a plus for you when you heard, hey, we're going twice to Castaway Key?
Definitely. Is, you know, all of my previous cruises were on the Dream, and most of those I've not gotten off the ship in Nassau. So Castaway Key for me is, you know, the highlight pretty much of those cruises. So being able to do it 2 days in a row, and then, you know, being able to do it as just adults and being able to experience Serenity Bay for the first time was definitely a plus for us.
That's right. We'll be back there so soon. I can't wait. But this week we're sailing. I can't wipe the smile off my face right now because I'm so excited for this this cruise. And you sail with us on a podcast cruise, so you know how fun they are. So let's hop into the differences. Okay, you say you sailed on the Dream. You sail with us on the podcast cruise. Especially with the ship coming out of dry dock. So, you know, these ships go continuously. I don't think people think about that very much. With a cruise ship, it never has a day off. Like, when you get off the ship, it doesn't sit for 2 days until the next crew, you know, group of people get on. It's immediate. It's like it's always going 24/7. But in your situation, there were no guests when you guys got on for a change. So what was there any, could you tell any difference upon embarkation that something was a little different this time?
Not really. I was surprised that the ship actually arrived at Port Canaveral the day, 2 days before, actually, I think, is when it came in that evening. So we spent the day prior, you know, was our day to fly down, and we spent it in Port Canaveral and Cocoa Beach, so we could see the ship there. We didn't see a whole lot of activity, but that morning, embarkation, everything was pretty much the same. The parking garage was, you know, about half full when we got there, and everything else seemed kind of the same. There wasn't really, from my perspective, any different. We noticed right away when we did get on the ship and throughout that 3 days, there were a lot of Imagineers on that crew, finishing up last-minute details, that sort of thing.
That's what, you know, I talked about this with my wife. You know, we were very jealous that you guys got to go down. This didn't work out for us financially, or I was finishing up teaching. I could not have bugged out like my last week. I'd have really been in big trouble if I'd have done that. But trust me, I thought about it like 17 times. But we were kind of joking, like, I wonder if the Fantasy had like that new car smell, because I know that, you know, in certain venues, they probably replace the carpet. They do a lot of painting. You know, this is the opportunity to get those things done that you're not going to get to maybe for another 5 years. So did you notice a lot of stuff like that?
Just a little bit. The all of the carpeting in the atrium and up around, around the atrium on deck four, all of that carpeting was new, and you could kind of smell that a little bit. There were a lot of areas up on decks 11 and 12, the pool decks, where they had, you could see that they had refinished a lot of the flooring surface up there. And they were still doing some painting, around there as well. A lot of that actually though was unfinished. You could see where they had stopped. Maybe they ran out of time or materials. I'm not sure, but, that was really the only part where it actually smelled new. The staterooms and everything else, you know, pretty much looked normal. It looked as everything, you know, we expected.
So did you notice, did the staterooms have like new linens or new mattresses? I mean, I don't know if you'd be able to tell that, but I mean, was there any indication of that happening? Like those kind of things, hard goods?
I was looking for it from, you know, from a bedding standpoint, I couldn't tell the difference if it was new. But definitely when we got in our stateroom that afternoon, I looked around and I immediately noticed that there were USB ports in the up on the over the desk where all of the electric outlets and all the switches are for a lot of the lights. That there is now a panel with two USB ports, and then the alarm clock actually has two USB ports right in front of it, which was very convenient.
That's smart.
On both of those.
That's smart because they don't want you bringing on extension cords and all those extra, you know, wires and so forth. But we have so many devices nowadays, and, you know, the Fantasy is not that old of a ship. But think about, the Fantasy, I think, was 2011, you know, but things have changed a lot since 2011. We all have devices and we need to be connected. And I think Disney wants us to be connected, you know, sharing our memories on social media. So I love how you notice that, because you're kind of like me. You're a technophile. And, you know, it's one of the first things you're going to see. Hey, man, some USB ports were in there. That's cool.
Yeah, that, you know, they don't allow power strips, and you get three or four people in the family with, you know, at least one or two devices that need a USB port to charge. Those are definitely going to come in handy.
That's right. All right, so let's talk about the new stuff. I know you prepared some notes for us, things. I told you we were going to talk about this when you got back. So what kind of things can we look forward to that probably nobody has experienced yet, except for the few that have sailed since she came out of dry dock? What are some of the new things to look forward to this week coming up?
Well, from a perspective of comparing the Dream to the Fantasy, the Fantasy's a little bit different. It's the Dream is Art Deco, and I guess the Fantasy is supposed to be Art Nouveau. I really like the atrium area on the Fantasy and the chandelier. As much as I, you know, am awed every time I step on the Disney Dream, when we stepped on the Fantasy and looked around, that was really impressive. Carpeting is all, with the stairwell, is all laid out like a peacock feathers, like a tail, and it's really kind of impressive. And you need to kind of, at some point, go up to deck four, you know, and take a look down and see how it all lays out, you know, below you. Up on the pool deck, the new suite on new ice cream shop, which the Dream had gotten in their dry dock, they had gotten the vanilla beans. And it's very similar, but it's a little easier to walk around, move around in there. There isn't that big center section. We went in there a few times, but we didn't actually get any gelato or the ice cream, so we're definitely going to be doing that next week when we're on with all of you guys.
Yeah, I can tell you about speaking about that real quick, about the candy shop. Mallory is so excited, and I hate to say this because it was my mantra before we sailed on the Dream last time when they put in Vanellope's. I said, there is no way I'm going to spend a dollar extra for candy on a cruise. You got an ice cream machine, you got a pizza shop, you got burgers, fries, your food is included. Nope, we spent probably 10 bucks. I mean, it was only 10 bucks on, you know, these cruises cost forever, you know, they're expensive. But, you know, I think it's a cool little twist because it's a neat little, you know, I think the Fantasy is kind of like a soda shop theme or something similar to that, right? I mean, it's a neat little venue that it doesn't cost a fortune, but, yeah, you know. Have some fun with the kids, I guess. I don't know.
Right. And they don't have Rice Krispie treats over in Cabana. So
that's true.
this is the place to get them.
Awesome. So what else can we look forward to?
One of the other real new areas is they took out the art gallery and they put in the jewelry stuff. Why am I drawing a blank right now?
Oh, Tiffany's. Not that Tiffany's, I would know. Yeah. Like, how am I supposed to know that? They're not going to let me in there. They wouldn't let me in the art room either, so whatever.
Yeah, we walked through it, but I put my hands in my pockets and tucked my elbows in because I didn't want to break anything.
That's going to be a lot of us, I think. The alarm will go off.
Yes, definitely. Other than that, really... The other real new thing that I noticed was in the staterooms, the stateroom TV system is now different. You can actually see your account. You can look up what, you know, each person in the stateroom has, you know, spent. You can see, you know, your activities, so your excursions. You can see those on your account. And I like that. I like being able to look, you know, and not having to wait in line down at guest, you know, services to get a printout. You can just, you know, at a glance, take a look. Everything else was still there, all the movies and all that. They changed the interface, you know, quite a bit. It's actually a little bit more difficult to navigate to look for movies because they're pictures now, kind of like, you know, an Apple TV or, you know, even an Amazon, any of those. But everything is, you know, appeared to still be there like that.
That's good. You know what? Because Royal Caribbean's had that for years and years with the, you know, your portfolio basically right there on your in-state room entertainment center, your TV. And that's super helpful because I'm just laughing because I know that this is where we can bust the kids. You know, you can figure out if Alex is spending a little extra money there, I can catch Paige, or more likely in my case, Mallory. I'd trust Paige way more than the 9-year-old. But, you know, it's good just to kind of keep a, you know, just a, especially on a 7-night cruise, you know, you don't want that to get away from me. You kind of want to, you know, hem that in, see where the money's going. And, you know, it's just a great place to check out, you know, what do we have coming up as far as what excursion did we book in Grand Cayman? You know, you can check that out. So that's, sounds like they're really, you know, and I guess this is what they do in every dry dock, I would imagine, is kind of try to future-proof these ships for the next 5 years. You know, anticipate, what are we going to need over the next 5 years? We've got to get it in now. So it sounds like it's going to be a better experience in that stateroom. They've kind of up the technology a little, which I think everybody needs and everybody expects at this point.
Yeah, definitely. And then after our cruise, we ended up over, you know, Walt Disney World at a couple different resorts, and I found myself wishing that, you know, they had that system. So I'm hoping eventually that they'll, you know, migrate that and bring that over into the resorts too.
Yeah, I agree. That's what I've always thought. You know, the cruise ships are a great test bed for the resorts and vice versa as well. You know, Disney's a company that accommodates a lot of people with different family sizes, different needs and expectations in how they're going to, you know, take care of the guests, you know, at night. And these staterooms, I'm excited that they're moving them forward. I think they could even push it a little more. You know, Royal Caribbean is really pushing technology. You know, in the last few years, they're really doing things with like robotic bartenders and just, you know, they have basically magic bands now on their ships. So when I see that, I'm happy because that's going to force Disney Cruise Line to stay on top of their game and, you know, maybe innovate to the next level. So I'm excited for that. So let's talk about this particular sailing. Again, 3-night cruise, 2 stops at Castaway Key. You know, we always talk about, you know, don't do a 3-night cruise. It's too fast. You feel like you're getting on, then you're getting off. But this was a special occasion. So what was the vibe for this particular sailing?
It was very different. Obviously, you know, being a 3-night cruise, it was very short. You know, it seemed like we, you know, we just got into it and then, you know, we had to pack up and head out. But the other thing that we noticed, especially with this cruise, first off, there was a lot of gold and platinum people on this cruise. There were a lot more adults on this cruise, and there weren't any teenagers. We didn't see any hardly on the ship at all or on Castaway Key. There were little kids, you know, there were preschool age and maybe some, you know, grade school kids, but there were no teenagers. And I think that's probably just a product of the fact that it's a 3-day cruise, and it was at the end of the school year. So, like, our daughter had finals that week. I'm sure a lot of schools was wrapping up. It's hard to take the kids out of school at that time.
Yeah, and this was one of those that wasn't out there, you know, say, you know, 20 months in advance. They kind of just, you know, like, hey, we got a little window here. Boom. And all of a sudden there was a 3-night fantasy cruise. And I, you know, I remember the first time I saw it, I thought, ooh, that must be an error. Like, that's got to be the dream. You know, it's 3-night cruise. But I think, and I saw the thing I noticed too, not only a lot of gold and platinum on that sailing, there were a lot of folks that were connected in social media, a lot of bloggers, vloggers. There was a lot of coverage of this sailing on the social media. Did you notice any of that going on while you were sailing?
Just a little bit, actually. On the sail away, there was a group next to us up on deck 12 that was probably 25 or 30 people, you know, strong, and they had a banner. I couldn't particularly read what it was, but Michelle said that she recognized them from Facebook, you know, some Facebook group or something. We saw a little bit of that. We chose on this sailing, just because it was the two adults, we chose to try late seating for dinner. And I was surprised. I mean, it was almost all adults at you know, late seating. But there were a lot of empty tables in all of the main dining rooms that we were in as well. But we noticed because of that, too, during the day when we would go to the adult pool or the satellite falls, that they were much more crowded than I've seen it, you know, on the Dream, because of the fact that there were more adults. So it really did affect our first day at Castaway Key.
So this sailing, though, obviously wasn't sold out or wasn't sailing at capacity, which kind of surprised me. I mean, it was an opportunity to get on the Fantasy at a very good rate. But again, didn't have a lot of lead time. And, you know, 3-night cruises, you know, it's one of those things. You know, do you go for it? Is it too short? You know, so I didn't know if this thing would be, like, totally sold out or undersold. So it sounds like it wasn't sold out.
I don't think it was quite sold out, but it sure felt like it when we were standing in the port waiting to to embark on the ship, there was a lot of people waiting.
Interesting. Now, so you mentioned that you noticed it on Castaway Key. We did the podcast cruise a few years back where we did the double dip to Castaway Key, and there's something about the mindset of leaving Castaway Key the first time, knowing that you have a second day back. It's not so traumatic leaving, seeing it disappear on the horizon, like, oh, I don't know when I'm going to see my favorite place again. Cookies, where are you going? But, going there twice. And how did that work? Because I think a lot of people are curious about how do you do a two-stop at Castaway Key sailing on a three-night sailing? So, like, what were the logistics of how the ship sailed? How'd that go?
So, we left Port Canaveral on Wednesday. Thursday morning, we woke up and we were, the ship was backing into Castaway Key. We had, I think it was all ashore at 8:30, and I think we had to be off at 4 or 4:30, something like that. It was a normal day. And then actually after that first night was then Pirate Night. And Commodore Tom announced that we would be sailing actually towards Freeport. They had to do a medical evacuation by boat. He said it, but it wouldn't affect, our fireworks that night or arriving, the next day back at Castaway Key. We did it where we booked our excursion. We booked a Sandbar Beach excursions for that first day, figuring that we would get that out of the way, and then the second day we wouldn't have to worry about spending time or losing 2 or 3 hours doing something like that. The very first day, that Thursday, we got on the tram and then we switched to the Serenity Bay tram and went to Serenity Bay, and we left the ship about 9 a.m. We ate breakfast and left about 9 a.m. When we got to Serenity Bay, we had to walk almost down all the way to the end to get beach chair.
Wow.
There were so many people at Serenity Bay because of the fact that it was so many more adults. We spent all morning in the water, and just about 11:20, 11:30, we went to walk over to get lunch. And it started to rain. There was a little rain shower coming in, and the barbecue area at Serenity Bay was full. It was packed with people. And so we ended up getting a table. We were sharing tables with a couple different people, and we were talking, and they were saying that they always do Serenity Bay's barbecue, and it's never been like that. It just seemed like it's not that big. It's not maybe designed for normally that many people. But we had a good lunch, and the rain let up at that point, and that was the only rain we saw the rest of that trip. So.
All I can think of is how lucky are those people that, we eat at Serenity Bay all the time. It's never this crowded. I'm thinking, who are you? Like, what kind of life do you live?
Yeah. And we said, now we definitely just have to come back on a normal cruise and see what it's like.
Now, did you tell them that we're going to be back, July? This is just a dry run.
I made sure to tell that to everybody, Anybody say, did you have a good time? Oh, we'll be back in 4 or 5 weeks.
That is so awesome. So what about the serving teams and the room stewards and stuff like that? Could you tell maybe were they starting new contracts, or were they folks that were, in the middle of a contract? I mean, how did it feel that way?
It was a little bit of both. Our serving team, they were in the middle of their contracts, and they actually worked throughout the dry dock. So we were talking to our server, and his job actually, he was saying during the dry dock, was to help the welder. He would stand with a squirt bottle of water, and they would weld something, and then he would have to squirt it to cool it down. We had a blast with that. I mean, he was so much fun, and he was actually a really great server, just like we usually have. But yeah, he was telling us that. What they could do then, they did have some time off, but there wasn't a whole lot for them to do in Freeport. But it seemed like mostly it was like a mixture. The day we disembarked, there was at least 100 extra cast members that came on the ship at that time. So I'm wondering if maybe for the three night, they might have, sailed with, a little bit fewer cast members, and then those people came back.
Yeah, that'd make sense. I've always heard that in the cruise industry, that when a ship goes into dry dock, that the crew does take on odd jobs. They'll rip out carpets, they will paint. I never heard about the welding assistant, but that just, I've heard that's true, but I just can't imagine that somebody, I don't know. I just think that if you're, you're a server and all that, but That's physical stuff. I mean, and that's, if you're a great carpenter, you know. I mean, it takes skill to do things like that, you know, trades, and especially on something as ornate as a Disney Cruise Line ship. But I guess, you know, I guess they take the crew and just kind of where they need just assistance, you know, not necessarily the strong skill. They're there as kind of an assistant to the craftsman, I guess. So that's super interesting. I would have loved to heard all kinds of stories about that.
Yeah, it's exactly it. I think it was where they needed assistance. And then he said that the rest of the time he was on the crew that was serving for all of the workers for their lunches and meals.
So I wonder if, like, those the folks that are on to do the, you know, the work on the ship, do they, I guess they stay in the staterooms that the guests would normally stay in, maybe, or some of them, I don't know.
Exactly. That's what we asked. He said that's exactly what they do. They put them up on the ship.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, that thing, when you think about, you know, this is one of the things that drew me to Walt Disney World the very first time when I got interested, is that it's its own city with its own transportation system that never, ever stops. You know, there's always something going on. You might be sleeping at 2 a.m, but there's a whole system happening to get ready for that next park opening at 8. And I think the Disney ships, you know, all cruise ships out there do the same thing. You know, they are living and breathing 24/7, even in dry dock. That's awesome. I mean, I would have loved to have been on this sailing just to pick people's brains and, you know, because I'm that kind of person. I like to know, you know, what happens. Like, when we're not looking, what happens? Did you do any, like, bridge tours or anything like that on this sailing?
No, we did not. We just pretty much, we were just trying to take some time and relax. We didn't do a whole heck of a lot. Our excursion ended up getting canceled because it was windy and a lot of waves both days that we were at Castaway Key. But so we spent the second day, we actually left the island early. We went to the family beach in the morning, swam, and instead of eating lunch there, we went back to the ship. We ate it in cabanas, then went to Satellite Falls and the adult pool and had some drinks at the swim-up bar. Well, it's not really a swim-up bar, but you can sit there and the mist foggers going. And we just kind of took that time that afternoon to spend time back on the ship.
So I'm curious about another thing. I love these things that don't come up all the time. You mentioned that the pirate night that you guys had, that the cruise director, the captain, mentioned that they were going to have a medical evacuation. You guys were sailing towards Freeport. Did you try to see any of the mechanics of that? Did you notice, like, another ship coming up to the Fantasy to do this or anything like that? Did you happen to catch that?
I didn't, because we were at dinner. I did, you know, like you said, I'm a techie at heart, kind of like you. I did bring my my handheld GPS, so I was able to look after we got back home. I was able to look, have it mapped out, and see where we sailed right up towards Freeport, a little bit offshore, did kind of a slow circle, and then we headed back. And you could see kind of on that chart also where, you know, the fireworks were. They kind of lined us up with the wind and that. And from a normal guest perspective, you wouldn't even have noticed it at all.
Interesting. Okay, a couple other questions I have about this sailing. As far as entertainment staff, the cruise director staff, did you notice that maybe they were testing new entertainment options or shows or anything like that? You know, trivias, because you've sailed before and you're in tune. You know, like, some of the normal things. Did they say, hey, this is something new, or was it pretty much just let's carry on with what's always worked for the last, you know, so many years?
I think it was pretty much the status quo. Everything was pretty much the same. They had three shows. We did go to see the Aladdin show because that was, you know, different or new for us, right? Because being on the Fantasy for the first time. Everything else seemed to go just like it normally would. Sailaway party, everything went normal right until the last night.
That's what I was going to close with. That's it. So, you know, we started hearing rumors, and I saw it from you, and I saw it from other folks too. That, and this is the irony of the whole thing, you know, I was thinking, wow, of all the times for the Fantasy to kind of limp back to port, it's kind of ironic that it's happened right out of a dry dock. But I mean, maybe that's because they were working on something, and, you know, that'd be me, like, oh, hey, the Fantasy's gone, what's this bolt sitting here, you know, like, was that here before they got here, you know, in Freeport or what? I don't know. So tell us about that. You developed some engine trouble, I believe.
Yeah, so that last night our dinner was in Animator's Pallet, which is on deck 4, which I believe is right over the engine room. And about 8:30, all of a sudden, everything started vibrating. And if there hadn't been tablecloths on the table, I think the glasses would have been, you know, kind of sliding around. Just, it was that vibrating that much. It was like being on a motorcycle. That lasted a couple of minutes, and it, as soon as it stopped, everything kind of got quiet, and we could actually feel the ship slowing down. And ironically, prior to that dinner, when we were leaving Castaway Key, Commodore Tom got on the PA, and he announced that, you know, what path we would be sailing. He said we would average about 20 knots getting back to Port Canaveral and arrive about 6:30 in the morning. So that we were joking at our table at dinner, maybe we're going to get stuck, And when we got back to our stateroom and we finished packing up and put our luggage out in the hallway, Michelle noticed, because we could see the lights of Freeport, and she said, "Hey, those lights aren't moving. I don't think they're moving." So I went to the Bridge Report TV channel, and it was turned off. And so I looked on my app, on my iPad, and I could see that we were only doing about 9 knots. Because I looked outside and I said, "Well, we are moving, but we're definitely moving slow." And it was shortly after that they came on into the stateroom, which obviously, that's very unusual for them to do that during a cruise. And they announced that, due to unforeseen mechanical issues, we would be arriving late at Port Canaveral, and that they were making arrangements for those people that had flights that had booked through Disney Cruise Line. And they said anybody else that had booked on their own, come down to guest services and they'll help people out. And they said that we would arrive late. At that point, they thought maybe about 8:30. And they said that the next announcement would be at 8 a.m. So we got up in the morning. Actually, technically, I woke up in the middle of the night and I looked, and the Bridge Report was back on, and I looked and checked my app. We were doing a little bit faster. We were going maybe 13 knots, which the ship at max speed usually typically goes around 21, 22. But I looked and I saw the distance that we were from Port Canaveral, and I started doing the math in my head, and I said, "There's no way we're making it back before 10 a.m. There's no way, not at this speed." So went back to sleep, and we got up in the morning and got showered and dressed and that, and Shell wanted her coffee. She wanted to go to breakfast. I said, "Well, let's wait. Let's wait for the 8 o'clock announcement, because I don't want to leave, the stateroom and not be able to come back if we can help it. I'd rather not lug my carry-on backpack while at breakfast." So at 8 o'clock, they came in the stateroom and they said, "We're going to be later than we expected. We probably arrived, about 11, 11:30, Port Canaveral." They were making arrangements for flight. They had entertainment. They told us we could stay in our staterooms until 11 a.m., but then please vacate them so that the staff could turn them around for the people coming in. And so we went to breakfast, and the mood on the ship was great. Everybody, was handling it fantastic. Nobody was upset. They did ask everybody to stay away from the atrium as much as possible. They had entertainment. They had food. Later on, they actually made an announcement. They served us lunch. If anybody wanted to go to the cabanas for lunch, they had a character dance party at the pool. They had all the lounges opened up. And so people were just kind of hanging out. And we went on deck 4 as we were as they were rotating the ship to actually dock at Port Canaveral. And we watched all of that activity and watched them taking everybody's luggage off. And we had heard that all of the people that were coming in that morning, they were sent emails, and they were, if anybody that did show up, they were turned away, and they were marshaling those people at a nearby hotel is what we heard, because the port wouldn't be able to handle all of those people waiting to get on while we were trying to get off. And so we waited, and a little afternoon they made the announcement that we could leave the ship, and I thought, okay, these are going to be real bad lines at customs, and it wasn't. We were off the ship in the car and driving back to Walt Disney World by 12:30.
Yeah, Disney Cruise Line told us, as travel agents, that they were contacting through email and phone calls, the guests that were on that first 7-night departure, because, like you said, they couldn't get everybody there at once. It was going to be just, too many people at the same time. But, I'm glad that everybody seems like they took it in stride. I mean, there's a worse place to be. Of course, I think a lot of us think back to five, six years ago with the Carnival ship that got stuck out at sea. It's a whole different story. I mean, you're on a short, you're close to land. It's going to happen. You still have an engine. You're still moving. So, I don't think there's any panic there. And plus, you got a little bonus, getting to see. I would imagine, because you're like me, you like the technology, seeing how things happen on a cruise ship. So I'm usually asleep when we're coming back. I never sleep the last night of the cruise because I'm like, oh, when I wake up, we're going to be sitting in that spot where we got on the ship. It's a nightmare. I hate that. But, you know, I always tend to drift off. And then when I wake up, we're there, we're parked, you know. So was it fun kind of coming back through the Port Canaveral Channel where you could see everything happening, kind of the reverse of leaving Fish Lips there on the sail away?
It was, actually. I usually end up waking up that night because I hear the pilot boat. And so I'll wake up and I'll look out and I'll say, oh, land. And then I can, you know, fire up the cell phone because I now have cell service again. This time it was, you know, daylight. Normally that happens in the middle of the night or real early in the morning. This time it was daylight. We were on the starboard side of the ship. So as we came into Port Canaveral through the channel there, we were on the opposite side of Fish Lips. So a lot of things there on that side that I had never seen before. I did a Facebook Live. We were just hanging out. At that time still, we were in our room. So we were just hanging out in the balcony and watching, you know, everything go by. We saw dolphins. I got to see, you know, there were the helicopters that kept circling overhead, giving rides. It was interesting seeing all of that that we normally don't see at all.
That's awesome. Well, you took a chance on a very different itinerary. Sounds like you got a little more than you bargained for, but great time was had by all. So, Mark, I'm so excited to get to see you this evening, maybe tomorrow. And we get to sail together again on the podcast cruise here starting on Saturday. So thanks for coming on. You're making this week awesome because everybody's getting ready to sail. And we'll catch you on the Fantasy here in about 6 days. But thanks for coming on the show. Appreciate it.
Oh, thanks again, Mike.
All right. Don't forget, today's episode has been brought to you by The Wisdom of Walt. So you need a good read this summer. Hey, if you're going on a cruise, and I think I said this at the top of the show, I haven't really mentioned this yet. Dr. Jeff Barnes is sailing with us on the Disney Fantasy this week on the podcast cruise. He's going to be there. So I'm going to pick his brain. I'm sure you guys will too. He is an expert when it comes to Disneyland and Walt Disney. I'm going to talk to him. But hey, you need a good read. And this would be great for a cruise. Picture those loungers on any of the Disney ships on deck four. Got the blue cushion there. You got the sea breeze. You got your Wisdom of Walt. And you've got some inspiration and you've got some great reads right there. So drop by the Wisdom of Walt today. Pick up your copy and, you know, take it with you wherever you go this summer, even if you're headed out to sea. We're also brought to you by touringplans.com. And we're going to be down at Pandora. It's going to be a nut house here before the sailing. I'm going to need the cruise to get over the nut house of Pandora. But I'm going to steer clear of the crowds and know where to go when with my Lines app right there on my iPhone 7. So check it out today. Grab your premium subscription over at touringplans.com. Give us a follow on the social media. I promise it's going to be worth it this week and in the next week. Go to Instagram and Twitter. I'm at Be Our Guest Mike. And on Facebook right here, you can catch all of our live Facebook broadcasts. And we're going to be doing a lot from Walt Disney World and even some from the Disney Cruise Line ship. So check it out. Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. That's right. And don't forget also, when you go shopping online, you go to Amazon. If you're picking up, I don't know, like a fishing rod or some bait, whatever you're shopping for this week, use our affiliate link. Please do it. Help support the show. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. Doesn't cost you anything extra. You're still Prime. We get a little kickback from Amazon. It really, really helps us out. Again, BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. All right, time to cut you loose. We are going to be back. The whole time that we're gone, we have shows ready for you. We're going to be answering your listener questions on Wednesday, so stay tuned for that. But most of all, thank you so much for making this community what it is. We're making this podcast what it is. We couldn't do it without you spreading the word, without you downloading the show, and without you being a part of everything that we do. So we thank you very, very much for that. All right, so let's turn you loose here on a Monday. Hope you have a great week. It's probably not going to be as awesome as my week, but hey, it's my turn. I sit here at home a lot too when you guys are down there. So we're going to make it awesome. You do too. So for Mark, I'm Mike, wishing you a great week. Whatever you do, stay safe and get back to work. And we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.
Tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd work for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I'd
thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away.